What's up, everybody? Good morning on this Friday, July 9th, 2021. Welcome back to Unscripted Podcast, where today I wanted to continue discussing the very wonderful special Judith Roden. The track that I've been taking is someone who's kind of like all over the place, just fucking the most ADD person you can imagine, is that I'm just gonna grab pieces wherever I can and try to put them together. So one of the things that I decided to do was look at some of the big movers and shakers and try to take a really surface level, because it's impossible to do anything but that in such a short amount of time. Surface level look at like who and what they're about. But of course, along the way, as I'm doing that, I bump into things that then send me in other directions. But it's all connected at the end. It's just impossible to cram it all into one little tight space and show you. Some people are smart enough to do that. I have many talents. One of them is knowing just how smart or not smart I am. And I'm not smart enough to synthesize all of that in a way that makes sense to people in 30 minutes, an hour, maybe if I was given like 10 hours and a great PowerPoint, but even then I would probably go astray, just like I am now. Anyway, so looking at Judith Roden a little bit, I wanted to show you all how integrated all of this stuff is, right? So it's bigger than just the health crisis that we have going on. It's obviously bigger than the social and societal issues that we have going on. Although, to the people on the ground, to the people impacted, I understand that it feels like those are the issues, right? So whenever I hear someone say, well, the previous administration or this administration or this congressperson or this senator, I kind of want to say, yes, they may be detestable, or yes, they may be really likable, or yes, they may have good intentions. That's going to be in a much smaller cohort. But the agenda is way bigger than that, whether they realize they're playing a part or they don't. Judith Roden is someone who realizes she's playing a part. She's a very smart lady. It's a sick, twisted kind of irony that she's a psychologist. But I wanted to kind of show you guys some links. So let's see if I can share my screen here and start with that. So let's start just by sharing that. It's I can only share one thing at a time. Oh, no, I can share multiple things at a time. I'm starting to teach a Zoom class next week, so I should probably know how to do all this stuff. All right, we'll take a look at this in just a second. Probably wondering what that is or not, but we'll get there. So I planned ahead. See, I'm really proud of myself, turning over a new leaf, planning ahead. And in the spirit of continuing the look at Judith Roden, who she is, she was the president of the Rockefeller Foundation. She has associations with Wharton Business School. I mean, she's a real mover and shaker. And so I wanted to take kind of a look at a couple of things that she's involved in, and show you just a snippet, of like a corner of the tapestry of all the lies here. So Judith Roden recently wrote a book, and I showed the ABC News clip on the last podcast, I think, or I included that separately about when she was talking about resilience. So, she's talking about resilience and in an uncertain world. And of course, the tenor of the advice that she's giving is essentially like, be shit your pants afraid. The world is filled with crises. Every single month since the beginning of the century, we've had one catastrophe after another. People need to be able to learn how to be very flexible and adapt quickly, AKA shut your mouths, put your tail between your legs, and do what we say. And that's what resilience looks like. Instead of getting educated and being empowered and casting fear aside and and all of that stuff and working together, all that is silly. Do what she's telling you instead. Be alert, rat out your friends, be flexible. In other words, be ready to do what we tell you to do and think it's a good thing. And people do. So first, let's take a look at our partners. So the World Economic Forum, we've been talking a lot about the World Economic Forum, right? At least since the beginning of the year or the end of last year, because they are a big player in kind of bringing all of this together. What it's going to look like, the fourth industrial revolution, the Great Reset. A lot of people that don't believe that that's a thing that's happening are sick of hearing it. Well, believe me, those of us who can read and know what's happening are equally sick of talking about it. But regardless of how either side feels, those who sit at the commanding heights are moving forward with all of it. So, on here, brought this up for a reason. And of course, now it's going to elude, it's going to slip my mind. But I was looking, I mean, I had this link in here for some reason, didn't, I mean, it's not like it was there for nothing. This is what happens when you have someone so ADD. Doing a podcast, but just bear with me. Because I think what I was attempting to show, I know she's on here somewhere and it's going to come to me. But when I typed in Judith Roden, she came up. So, but like, that's how I ended up getting to all of this in the first place. Let's see. I'm really impressing right now with all of this. But let's see. All right. So Judith Roden, World Economic Forum. All right. Basically, what I just wanted to show you is that she's involved in all of this. Okay. So a graduate of University of Pennsylvania, PhD in psychology, which, as I said, is ironic. She got that Columbia, former president of the University of Pennsylvania, provost at Yale since 2005, president of the Rockefeller Foundation. And now that's passed. She's no longer the president of the Rockefeller Foundation as of recently. My guess is, if I had to take a stab at it, it's because she's really throwing her efforts into being demonic. But, I mean, even if you have the best of time management skills, it really it takes a lot of regimentation to be able to conquer the world and still have time, for your hobbies and self-care. Anyway, she's participated in global forums, the Clinton Global Initiative. That should say a lot right there, because the Clintons are totally altruistic and not bad people at all. The UN General Assembly, she was a member, high-level panel of the African Development Bank, in other words, thievery. She's board member at the Alliance for a Green Revolution in Africa, Council on Foreign Relations, Citigroup, Comcast. The White House Council for Community Solutions. And she's the first woman named to lead an Ivy League institution and the first woman named president of the Rockefeller Foundation. So good for Judith Roden, but there's several things in there that are really worth unpacking, another time. But she's involved in all of this stuff. She's involved in the Davos summit. She's involved in the Great Reset. She's, believe me, when you hear the words impact, when you hear the words resilience, when all of those things, that's Judith Roden right there. So goes on to say here that Judith Roden is a board member of One Concern, Prodigy Finance, Everly Health, and she's a co-author along with Sadia Madsberg. I butcher names in advance. I apologize. Author of Making Money Moral, How a New Wave of Visionaries is Linking Purpose and Profit, the Wharton School Press, 2021. All right. So, and then notice down here, I find it interesting that, you know, her new book comes out, and right down here, right below her name, most popular, ESG is missing a metric, R for resilience. Okay. Private investors. So what does it mean that they're investing in resilience? Well, we'll continue to kind of explore that, you know, another time. But I also, before I kind of go any further, I wanted to pivot a little bit, or do I yet? Because I wanted to kind of take a look. Well, let's take a look. I'm all over the place. I apologize. Let's take a look at each of the companies that she is on the board for. She's a busy woman, and yes, I make notes for myself. So, Everly Health. I'm not sure. I hope people can see this. Yes. I think people can see this. If you can't, I'll put the link in there. Everly Health is essentially a testing kit site. So there's an app for it. Our 30 plus at home tests offer simple sample collection, free shipping, and physician reviewed results and insights sent to your device in just days. Okay. So again, personal data, collecting that data sounds really convenient. Sounds like she's doing a good thing, making this affordable. But I would argue that that's not at all what she's doing. So here we go. Let's share. So now you can kind of see it. So this is what Everly looks like. This is, you know, she's on the board of this group. How self-discovery and science meet, collection methods, results reviewed. Okay. And then easy to understand digital results and actionable insights. Digital results and actionable insights. Our tests put you in control and provide personalized results with insights to help you take action. So where's that information stored though? Where does it go besides, you know, to you? So featured on, you know, Bloomberg, New York Times, Forbes, Time Magazine, all obviously really fantastic organizations. They have no dubious records whatsoever. Obviously, I'm being very sarcastic. And so then the next one is One Concern. So let me make sure that I'm sharing that. One Concern. Yep, we got it. Okay. So resilience. And remember, this is Judith Roden's word, resilience, right? That's her new book. Of course, I'm still working on my coffee, by the way, so I have a reason besides being, you know, unscripted and ADD. I have a reason for being all out of it. But let's just take a quick look at One Concern, all right? So resilience, the technology to weather any storm. So what they're talking about is creating societies, smart cities, that they say can bounce back as a collective from any catastrophic event, moreover, be prepared for it and detect it perhaps before it even happens. So detect viral outbreaks before they even happen, detect, you know, all kinds of different things. But right now they're focusing on health and the virus. So you're seeing the so-called surges happening around the world, these mutations, these variants. I've been saying it because those much smarter than myself have been saying it. These people have been telling you where it's going. What they want is a smart technology that will detect all of this stuff before it happens. So all of this new hysteria over the mutations, I've said it since they start to roll back restrictions you're going to start to hear talk of them saying, oh no, we're not going to be able to do that. We were wrong. Can't trust the honor system. I saw a tweet this morning, someone talking about, you know, when I walk into a store, my guess is those who are still wearing masks are those who are vaccinated. And I would say that that's not dangerous. And also that ignoramus is absolutely correct, because it's those individuals who blindly follow ridiculous advice without looking into it themselves that put on the masks in the first place. So of course it would be the ones that are vaccinated that are dumb enough to still be wearing masks. And I'm sorry, I'm pulling no punches at this point. I'm not interested in making excuses for most people. Anyway, so all this looks good, right? Well, not that there, but they're talking about why it's more important than ever. I mean, you've got these catastrophes, you've got, you know, every year we're facing more and more challenges. How are we going to bounce back from it? Well, the answer is technology, of course. Okay. The answer is technology. Scientists and technology are building, scientists and technologists building global resilience. So that's what it's all about. They say we're creating the world's digital twin. So we've talked about that a lot, the world's digital twin. And that's really interesting. I'm going to have to come back to that. Alison McDowell talks a lot about the digital twinning they're going to do of humans. And so with that being said, in a truly unscripted manner here, I want to remember to come back to the Hive Mind article. Yeah, some professional shit we got going on here. So come back to Hive Mind. Anyway, all right, so we're creating the world's digital twin. It says here, and she, keep in mind, she sits on the board here. We're building the digital architecture of our natural environment, built environment, and everything in between, meaning we're working to analyze the direct and multi-order impacts. There's the word, keyword impact, impacts of hazards, impacts with ripple effects across all levels of complex systems and networks. I love their language that they use to make it sound really, you know, sciencey and good. From floods and earthquakes to pandemic predictions. So there it is, pandemic predictions. So predictive analytics, predictive technology. How are we going to know ahead of time? You know, biosensors, sensors in the sewer system, sensors inside your body, sensors maybe that that are an app that at first you wear with your, you know, Apple Watch or whatever that detect, I don't know, all kinds of different changes in your physiology to be able to predict. Our multi-peril technology, it is evolving alongside the world itself. So this is extraordinary. I actually hadn't looked at this too much, but let's, I want to see, let me move my little icon there. No, I wanted to see if I could search her and see if she's written anything on here. But I can come back to that another time. yeah, we'll come back to that another time. All right. So then one concern. Now let's look at Prodigy Finance. Let's make sure that I'm still sharing that. Prodigy Finance. All right. So what is Prodigy Finance? All right. We talk about pay as you go or pay for success programs. Allison McDowell talks about that a lot. Well, what are these programs? Don't worry. Judith Roden has a way to profit off of all of this as well. If you think that they're trying to create new things to help you with your student loans or to help make it more affordable, looks really nice down here. That's not at all what it is. It's a new way of fleecing the fuck out of you. Except for this time, they're going to make you pay for it even more. So, right, looks good. Your future, our funds. Student loans are student loans for an international master's education. Well, what are they going to be training you in? We'll look into that in a minute if we have time. So no cosigner, no collateral. That's already an easy, that's the thing that happens. Easy online applicate, blah, blah, blah. Loans for tuition, cost of living. Flexible international student loans. How it works. Build your future. So you plan to study abroad. You want to study abroad. At a school we support, and you're from a country or state we support, find your school. Search our list of over 800 schools in 18 countries where we support courses, including business, policy, engineering, economics, computer science, maths, and law. Do I want to see the full list? I kind of do. Actually, that's a little bit much for me to get into, but no surprise that they focus on those things. So let's go back to that real quick. It was something I wanted to kind of look at here about us. Of course, COVID-19 or so. Invest in social impact. Okay. So social impact funding for students and investment eligibility. We offer investments that yield both social and financial returns, these little darlings. Our unique business model has social impact embedded at its core. They make it sound so good. It's the social impact. We believe that access to financing for international graduate education should be borderless. Or have we heard that before? Borderless and based on future potential rather than current circumstance. So that sounds really good, right? I mean, I used to have conversations with the youth I'd work with all the time talking about their potential, except for when I would talk about it, I would mean it and mean it in a much different way. They're literally talking about gambling on your future, which you can argue that anybody who's going to lend you money or invest in capital, say I want to invest in a business, you wouldn't invest in a business you know is going to fail. But investing in a business is different than investing in a human being. And what are the implications of that, the ethical and moral implications of that? And how is that going to spiral out of control? And moreover, how does it tie into the bigger picture, which is this, that human beings are going to be what give currency, digital global currency, any type of value. There's going to be commodities that back that digital currency up. They're going to be things like food and water, energy, and people. And of course, I should have probably put at the top of the list data, but you know, where are you going to get data? People. And some people's data is going to be more worth investing in than others, more worth exploiting than others, or for different reasons. So where were we? So embedded at its core, we believe that access to financing our international graduate education should be borderless and based on future potential. Already read. It shouldn't matter where you are born or live or how wealthy your family is. If you have talent and drive, then you should be able to access the education you need to fulfill your potential. First of all, if you're wealthy, you're not going to need their help. But anyway, this belief allows us to finance thousands of students that have few or no other options to fund their degree, our social bond framework. So you could take a look at it here if you want. I'll open up in a new tab and include it in the description. But this is like, you know, many, many pages. So we'll get into that another time. And I'll include all of this stuff here, but do I want to listen to this little promotional here? Do we? Investor eligibility. Investment features. Below are some features accessible through investing with Prodigy Finance. Diversification. Regular coupons. Social impact. 89% of current borrowers depend on Prodigy Finance to fund their degree, and 80% come from the emerging markets. Wow. Multiple currencies. Key stakeholders. This is where it really starts to get interesting, right? And then white papers, things like that, I'd be interested to read. Finance that transforms life. I'm going to open that in another tab for later, but let's just kind of read the bottom here. The changing face of global credit mobility and how fintech is providing opportunities for international students. What you will learn from this white paper. One, why global credit mobility is so critical in the pursuit of tertiary education. Two, the role traditional leaders in developing nations have played in shaping global credit mobility for education. And three, how fintech is disrupting the status quo. So whenever it comes to all of the fourth industrial revolution and the Great Reset and blockchain, you hear the words disrupting a lot, disrupting traditional systems, and they want to make it sound like it's a good thing. It's not, trust me. So this is back to only to one concern. And there she is, board of directors. But here are some of the people that see. So it's all connected. World Economic Forum, and then, you know, some of these companies that I don't know as well, but I know a lot of these, right? Partners and Investors, Princeton, I mean, some really good schools, William and Mary College, World Economic Forum. I mean, just, it's just loaded with goodies there. Anyhow, all right. So, lastly, one of the things, not lastly, but that I wanted to kind of look at is Uber Technologies. So, up until recently, I even thought that Uber was pretty innocuous. I goes to show you how little I know. All right. Uber Technologies is a global geofencing organization. That's what they're there for. To create that. So Uber is evolving the way the world moves by seamlessly connecting riders to drivers through its apps. It makes cities more accessible, opening up more possibilities for riders and more business for drivers. Now, the company, About Us, our offerings, investors, blogs, careers, for business, reserve a ride anywhere you go. Of course, there we go. All right, so AI, artificial intelligence, because it all links together. Sometimes it just takes a moment, and I had all this mapped out, but like I said, I'm super ADD. So Uber AI in 2019, advancing mobility with artificial intelligence, generative teaching networks, accelerating neural architecture search by learning to generate synthetic training data. And the description there is, at Uber, many of the hard problems we work on can benefit from machine learning, such as improving safety, improving ETAs, right? Recommending food items. Uber Eats does do that, and finding the best match between riders and drivers. The other thing it can do is map out your general location in the city, where you're going, where you typically go, right? So, you know, do you take a ride to certain friends' houses, to your job, you eat from certain places. So they've got your general routine down. And should they ever need to say, the authorities, that is, you can have that information to restrict you if the time comes where you have a medical passport and you need a QR code to go anywhere. They'll be able to do that. They'll know your geo. They'll be able to basically create a small little prison out of your neighborhood. Sounds far-fetched? It's really, really not. So let's see if we can get back to the hive mind. The emergence of a hive mind. I haven't actually read through all of this article, but this is from 2018, and I'm not quite sure even how I got here. I did get here. Let's see real quick if there's some of the key players. Affiliates, don't recognize them. But I know I got here by bouncing around. And as I do, and bouncing into different organizations and who they partner with, different people, beyond artificial intelligence, philosophy, health, we can get back to this another time. The team, guest contributors, our partners, open a new tab. I have to take a look real quick. Maybe there's nothing here, but Ethics Club, Brain Institute, Neuroscience, BrainCraft, Frontiers for Young Minds. Frontiers for Young Minds provides a collection of freely available scientific articles by distinguished scientists that are shaped for younger audiences by the input of their own young peers. Oh, we're going to have to look into that in a second. See, the thing is, there's just so much stuff. Maze Engineers. Maze Engineers is a central hub for all things related to behavioral neuroscience. Mylan Initiative. The Modern Youth Education, Leadership, and Inquiry in Neuroscience Initiative is a project spearheaded by the International Youth Neuroscience Association and the Synapse Project to produce a comprehensive curriculum, blah, 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 blah. Not blah, 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 a lot of extra stuff that, whatever, don't want to get into now. So the emergence of the hive mind. So let's just read just a little bit of this, okay? The term hive mind refers to the apparent intelligence that emerges at the group level in some social species, particularly insects like honeybees and ants. An individual honeybee might not be very bright, although that's debatable, but the honeybee colony as a collective might be very intelligent. So just imagine that we're in this internet of bodies, internet of human things. We're linked to these smart devices all around us, the smart city. We're linked to the cloud, and ultimately we resonate with each other. So your thoughts aren't really your thoughts anymore. Now, that has some pros, I guess. You could be much smarter than you've ever been. You could have access to all kinds of information, but what are the implications of this? Can people see your thoughts? Can they tell what you're thinking? Are your thoughts ever really your own? To me, this seems at a minimum, like a new type of prison. So to continue, science fiction is replete with depictions of higher intelligence organisms forming a hive mind. One canonical example is the Borg from Star Trek. The Borg assimilate other intelligent organisms like humans into the collective, but in so doing, obliterate the individuality of the organisms they are assimilating. Clearly, the assimilation of humans into a hive mind is supposed to be a bad thing, according to the writers of Star Trek. So I'm going to guess that these individuals are arguing that this is good. But anyway, let's just kind of scan through it here. Capturing, upgrading humans. These depictions of a potential future for humanity raise a number of questions. The first is whether humans are even capable of forming a hive mind, and if so, whether it is likely they will. Second, must the individual be erased as it is subsumed into the collective consciousness? And third, if individuality must be lost, is that necessarily a bad thing? So it seems like they're kind of priming me here. I don't want to read through the whole article here and bore people, but these are questions worth looking into, so much so that, you know, I'm going to come back to this at another time. But I do want to look at one answer here. Let's read two more paragraphs if you're still with me. One possible answer is because that's how large neural networks work. One popular, though largely untested, theory of consciousness is that of the neuroscientist Giulio Tononi. I butcher names, so people are going to have to live with that, whose information integration theory proposes that consciousness emerges wherever you have a system that is simultaneously functionally specialized and integrated, so that specific modules process specific kinds of information. But the output of those modules gets integrated across the entire network. According to Tononi, consciousness is the information that gets integrated across the system. This is what you see in the thalamocortical network. Again, a medical term. I swear I'm an intelligent dude. Network, various modules are specialized to process certain types of stimuli like faces or speech, but the output of these modules gets integrated across the entire cortex and thalamus. And in some sense, that's what honeybees do. Individual honeybees have very specific tasks like brood rearing, hive maintenance, foraging, or defense, but they share information with one another in a highly integrated fashion whenever there's something the entire colony needs to be aware of, like where to find food. So in order to form a hive mind, humans may have to act more like an integrated neural network. There are many forms that can take. In a sense, it's already happening thanks to cell phones and the internet. Careers are becoming increasingly specialized, and we share almost all our information on the web or email, phone, text, conferences, etc. So humans do exhibit simultaneous specialization and integration. One limiting factor in forming a mind, however, is time. It takes a while for us to figure out anything that is relevant to all of humanity, and it takes a long time to communicate what we found to everyone. One example is climate change. How long did it take us to figure out it's happening, and how much long? I can't even read any more of that. And there's a reason for that. It's because it's just because it's everywhere you go. I really want to know more about this organization here. Climate change. Now the real question is, what happens to our individuality if we give rise to a hive mind? Well, let's read that one last paragraph here. Now, the real question is, what happens to our individuality if we give rise to a hive mind? Are our individual minds obliterated? Or is it just business as usual while a collective intelligence supervenes? I like that, supervenes on our brains, unbeknownst to us. Tononi of the information integration theory actually thinks that the individual consciousness winks out when the group forms a truly integrated whole. At a lecture last year, Tononi said that if the United States ever came to a point where, as a nation, integrated more information than any of the individuals that make up the nation, those individuals would cease to be conscious. This is because, as has been shown mathematically in artificial networks, the amount of information integrated inside the parts of the network, e.g. US citizens, winks out to 0 bits as soon as the information integrated across a whole network exceeds the amount previously integrated inside its parts, that being the citizens. But the theory remains untested in real brains, so it's not entirely clear how plausible this assertion is. But say that we do lose our individual consciousness if a hive mind emerges. Is that necessarily a bad thing? Clearly, our gut reaction is yes, because we value our own mentality. But suppose, and here's where they make the case for why it's bad, I'm sure. But suppose it were the case that the collective human mind could receive more utility than could all individual humans combined. By the way, the concept of utility is a nice one on the surface, like so many things, but it gets really tricky. I can make a list of 2 dozen ethical dilemmas using the concept of utility right off the bat. I'm getting this idea from the notion of a utility monster proposed by philosopher Robert Nozick as a critique of utilitarianism. According to utilitarianism, we would be morally obligated to sacrifice our own utility in the service of the utility monster, whose utility in being served outweighs our suffering in serving it. Some philosophers see this as a great example why utility is not the metric to be thinking about when it comes to morality. Utilitarians, on the other hand, bite the bullet and say that we should, in fact, suffer for this being if the utility it gains is greater than our suffering. In terms of the hive mind, utilitarians might say that we should allow ourselves to be subsumed into a collective consciousness if that consciousness can reap greater utility than all of us as individuals combined. Well, it just might as well close up here. Goes on to say, personally, I hope this won't be a problem, nor do I really worry that it will be a problem. It may be possible for a higher collective consciousness to emerge without turning us into the Borg. Maybe a hive mind will only use a small portion of each person's brain. You know what? I thought I wanted to keep going there, but I don't. A small proportion of each person's brain. Now, I realize that I've been all over the place so far, and that's just kind of what you get when you're dealing with me and my unscriptedness. But in my mind, what I'm trying to patch together is a way to paint a picture for people that the outcome is already determined. We're sitting on the ground here screaming and shouting about all kinds of wrongs and pronouns and, injustices and all of those things. And, what the Democrats are doing and what the nasty right is doing and what the Marxists are doing and all of that stuff. I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but like it's what would be an apt comparison? It matters so little, it's hard to put into words. Like when you get into the ocean, technically, I imagine that the level of the ocean changes because I'm made of mass and I get in the ocean. And so, but it's so unbelievably and ineffably infinitesimal and small that it's immeasurable. It almost doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, but it still happens. That's how meaningless a lot of, and I'm not trying to debase people's passions about, you know, justice and all this stuff. I'm not saying those things don't matter. What I'm saying is that they are punking us, they are playing us, they are lying to us in every conceivable way, to get us to not pay attention to this destination that they already have mapped out. There are no surprises. Judith Rodin gets on and talking about being resilient, and she already knows where the road leads. They believe that this is best, that they're the ones to make the decisions. And they don't believe that we need to be informed of that. They don't. You know, last night I was looking into, let me see if I can find it, Vaccine Confidence Project. Let's share that website real quick. I was looking in, I was doing a YouTube. I was just scrolling around in YouTube, and I saw this little thing, this little video, and it's like it's about a person getting vaccinated to protect their loved ones. Very touching, blah 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 blah. And then in the corner of that video, let's see if I can pull it up now. In the corner of that video, like on the little thumbnail or whatever, I noticed this little emblem here, the Vaccine Confidence Project. So, you know, they continue to push this thing aggressively. And I'm wondering who is involved in this project. So I go down and I look, and I know we've already visited this a little bit, but I just want to kind of end with it. Here are your people involved, and tell me that they don't put it in your face where they're going. So this, you're supposed to get your confidence, not be worried, get your expertise, when their funders are GlaxoSmithKline, who was involved in Operation Warp Speed and is involved in brain computer interface through injection technology. You can read that right on their site. In fact, in a moment, let's do it if we can find it. Then you got Merck, we know who they are. We got Johnson & Johnson, we know who they are. And then let's just look at some of their partners. And I would love to know exactly what that means, but you got ProMed, you got, you know, Public Health Foundation of India, of England, the Vaccine Institute, the World Health Organization. I mean, it's just absurd. Interested to know who in the world. Okay, then you got Facebook in there. So, okay, it's beyond the pale. But if we can, oh, you use cookies, accept all. I guess I'll have to. Let me make sure that I'm sharing this. Okay, so you should have this. GlaxoSmithKline. So, research and development. So research. How we research new medicines, development, vaccines, respiratory oncology, trials in people. Bear with me just a second. Partnerships. Well, we'll end with that because, you know, it's just fun. Oncology. Research. So let's see if we can. Can I not? Oh, search. Sorry, no search results. Maybe I was wrong. our vaccines, prescription medicines. Let's see. Research and development. I know it's around here somewhere. Using vaccine to combat unraveling. Let's see. About us products. COVID-19 response, that might be interesting. But I know it's open products and COVID-19 in a new tab. I know they're around here somewhere. Prescription medicine, vaccines, of what they're working on. What is an adjuvant? How plant-based vaccines technology. Well, that would be interesting. Let's see. All right, well, I am tempted to simply look up GlaxoSmithKline All right, this is all the way back. Let's see, is this being shared? Yes, this is all the way back in 2013. Routers, GlaxoSmithKline, Britain's largest drug maker, is placing a small but important bet on a new way of treating diseases by targeting electrical signals in the body. Okay, that's interesting, but not all that exciting compared to what I had found over the summer. But in a moment, we'll just have to let it go. The bulletin, the brain-computer interface is coming. Huh. Struggling GlaxoSmithKline bets big on neural implants. June 10th, 2016. So open that up and open this up. And we'll just look at one more. August 2020, Big Think. Humans could merge with AI through this specialized polymer. Scientists are seeking ways to safely connect computers to the brain. So, bullet one, companies are developing brain machine block. Brain machine interfaces that aim to connect humans to computers. Two, one major challenge is finding materials that can accomplish this without damaging human tissue. Three, a recent event, a team of researchers presented a specialized version of a polymer that could someday make brain machine interfaces safer and more effective. So, of course, Elon Musk is mentioned in here. But what I would like to see is if it mentions Glaxo. I don't know why I'm getting so hung up on this, but anywhere, they're in there somewhere. And I will link to this article. And this one. So this is from 2016, but it talks about neural implants and GlaxoSmithKline. One last little thing I want to search is Operation Warp Speed. Like I said, super professional. Ah, God, I hate to click on something with the New York Times. Okay. All right, March 24th, 2021. GlaxoSmithKline. This is from the New York Times. Let's see if it's sharing here. Sorry that you all have to look at an article by the New York Times, by the way. I apologize. GlaxoSmithKline, the pharmaceutical company, sorry. The pharmaceutical company said on Wednesday that it had fired Moncef Slaoui, the former head of Operation Warp Speed, from his position. Bioelectron, it's not really former, made by a female. Okay, so not that that's not important that he sexually harassed somebody, but what I'm looking for basically is, all right, so Sanofi, this is a pharmaceutical company, a good friend of my family actually has worked for them for years. July 31st, 2020. Sanofi and GSK, that's GlaxoSmith, obviously, selected for Operation Warp Speed to supply United States government with 100 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine. Yeah. So anyway, it all ties together, folks. Why are they Vaccine Confidence Project? Why are they so invested in this? What it's easy to see, it's easy to think that the pieces aren't connected, but they are. They know where we're going. And even though I didn't exactly connect dots in the easiest way for people to understand this morning, it's because the web is just so fucking huge. What I really wanted to do was take a look at just one person, which essentially we did today, but in a roundabout way, because Judith Rodin, in one form or another, is involved with every single thing I just showed you. How does she have her hands in all of those things? Even if she's just sitting on the board. If you look at her career and the books that she's written, it shouldn't surprise you at all. They need this. But more importantly, the medical passports. Okay, Thomas Reuters Foundation News, trust.org. Our digital health passports, a good idea. And then we will probably end with this. The European Union launched on Thursday a COVID-19 vaccine passport system to ease travel across the 27-nation bloc and kickstart tourism at the start of the summer season. As vaccination campaigns progress across the continent, governments have been exploring how documents, mostly digital, could help reopen borders by identifying people who are protected against the coronavirus. Of course, now they're saying you might not be protected with all these variants. You might need to get so many different boosters and all this other stuff. So I do want to scroll down here as I always do. Sorry, I'm making you come along for the ride. If you've not tuned out yet, I wouldn't blame you for doing so. God, they got so much crap on here. And believe me when I tell you, it is all crap. What I wanted to do real quick was see who their partners are. I mean, this looks like it would be great, right? Like women, LGBTQ, whatever, climate, economies, technology. Of course, they're great, right? I mean, good people. Brendan Schwab. This is opinion. Let's see. I just want to see who their partners are, if it's possible. Or a global blah, blah, blah. Global governance or global coverage. Sorry. News, impact. There's that again. Journalism. Yeah. Okay. Media freedom. That's hysterical. God, I love it when they guise their tyranny in the form of anyway, funding. This is really what I wanted to get to. So, just wanted to see if. Let's see, Board of Trustees, if there's any recognizable names on here. I guarantee you these are all people who are no type of good, or at least a lot of them. Just these organizations right here is very telling. But anyway, Board of Trustees. Oh, this individual here looks like a version of Michael Moore. I was looking for, the really special Judith Roden there. Who are we? Okay, well, I'll include this link below. That is going to be it for today. I will include all these links below and probably be back tomorrow to do a more planned out version of what this was supposed to be today. But if you tuned in, I appreciate you doing that. I will include all the resources below, so hopefully you can make some sense out of it. Whereas my ADHD pre-caffeinated mind was unable to really do that this morning. Y'all have a good one.